10th October 73. Okay, you said he developed the parents for Dwingel edition.
And it was a big step, I must say, that these days to decide to use 24 parents in the telescope, because nobody at that time was using so many parents. He had to be sure of himself. Of course, he had made a few now here in Dwingel, and they were working satisfactorily.
Mm-hmm.
They were not the best parent that you could find, certainly not at this stage, mm-hmm.
but at that time
they were good, and they are very stable, yes, indeed.
That's been always the thing that amazed me about Westerbork, is that within a very short time it worked, you know.
Yes.
I mean, you can look at the Bond telescope to see that that doesn't happen automatically.
But of course there is a difference. When you make one receiver, you could have the temptation to just make a quick job out of it and just fiddle a receiver together. But when you have 12 receivers, 12 phone lines to make, you've got to follow a different scheme, a different pattern. You've got to make it very well planned, well designed, because reproducibility is extremely important.
That's right.
You can't obtain reproducibility if you don't work with discipline, following rules and so on.
This also fits very well into the Dutch character to carefully lay it all out and go through it methodically, I think.
Yeah, maybe, yes. Could be, yes.
Okay, now, so Müller was directing the electronics, and Hokkaat was seeing that the antennas were built, they were all finally built by 68 or something like this, is that correct?
Well, yes. In 69, I'd say that we started operating.
The antennas were moving for pointing measurements and things like this.
Yes,
in 69,
not all of them, but we started with two receivers in the very beginning.
Right.
Of course, the official opening was in June 70.
70, right.
But we had already in February or March, we had a symposium here for Oort's birthday. And at that time, the first map had already come out.
I see. I didn't realize it was that early.
Yes.
And that actually was in what? January or February, the first map was made.
Yes, about that time, yes. Yes.
And
one of the we had been delayed, not only by receiver questions. We had a lot of problems, of course, but one of them was a problem we had with the Philips positioning equipment.
Positioning of what?
The telescopes.
You mean the whole telescope, or the axis?
The axis. You see, they had a lot of problems. They could not really make the system foolproof. You would put a given position in a telescope and look through the window. You would see they were not looking at the same point in the sky, something like that. There were a lot of crosstalk between the cable coming back with the position information to the control building. And they had to do a lot of changes, but it took a long time for them before they realized what was wrong. Philips has never been building a system that large. They were doing positioning systems for machines in a workshop, you see.
Right.
But the connection lines are very short, so they are hardly crosstalk. Yeah. But here they had, so they had to change the design. And they didn't take it seriously in the beginning. It cost us certainly 6 or 8 months of our project. And of course, that gives other people the excuse to go slower, you see.
Right.
Of course.
But was that the only?
I'm not the responsible for being slower, so I'll take it slower. I make a change in the design.
Right.
That's what happened.
Was that the only real delay, though? Was this?
I would say it's the biggest delay, yes, positioning, because it did not allow us to do all sorts of tests. We couldn't point the antennas. So that, in other words, you see what happens. Yes, a lot of things cannot be checked. You cannot check the receiver sensitivity, stability very well, because you've seen the amplitude of what it does. All these problems came out at that time.
Right.
It really delayed us, I'm sure, not only giving excuse to other people to be late, but also delaying the testing.
I can see where that would happen.
Yeah.
It was also just about as the telescope came into power that Müller left. Or is it not in 69 or 70?
Well, he didn't. He left only last year, actually, huh? Or in 71 he left.
In 70, it was before I came in late 71.
But what happened? I think for the beginning of 70, the whole foundation had been reorganized. You see, the foundation started in 55, 56, 57, a very short scale, not only on building, but people. They had something like 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
And it grew up to 1969, up to 100 people.
Right.
So it had to be reorganized somehow. And that's what happened. Von der Laan was mainly responsible for that. But there had been, of course, reasons for that. Tensions in between the group, between the laboratories.
The group in Leiden,
for instance. Yeah. Of course, it's difficult to have two groups more or less working on the same thing in different places. You get all sorts of misunderstandings, jealousy maybe, and it's very hard to have such a system working, so that's why something had to be done about it.
Right.
And von der Laan saw it very well, and he started planning and reorganizing. He was in the Bestuur about that time. He had just come from the States and been given a position of lecturer and then professor at Leiden University.
Yeah.
And I think it was completed in 1970, the whole reorganization, by which the whole foundation was divided into different departments, laboratory, telescopes, software, and some sort of a pool of manpower, which is called Central Technical Facilities, which is still what we have now.
Right. Well, it works rather well, it seems.
Yes. But now we have, of course, concentrated the whole Leiden lab here. It's a big step forward. And we have also concentrated the solar research here. So we have more or less everybody here except for the Westerbork people.
Except for the reduction group, which may eventually move up here if they could.
Some of them will come here, yes. Yeah. We have already some of them with Ernst Rimmel and a programmer who is coming soon, and Wim Brau maybe next year.
Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much. That gives me a very good line on the whole thing. That finishes the interview with Jean Casse on 10th October 1973 at Dwingeloo. And afterwards he told me that he showed me a piece of paper that showed that the switchover from Belgian Netherlands project to Stichting control took place in December 64.